It's back to work today at the state capitol, where the attention will be, as it has been, on a new state budget. And with me for our weekly look at what to expect from the legislature in the coming days is Katie Campbell of the Arizona Capitol Times. Katie, I will start this conversation the same way we've started the last few weeks. Where are we on the budget?
Well, we finally have a real update for you, Mark. We got preliminary budget documents on Wednesday. They were leaked. There were some folks who were very upset that we saw them, but it's a sign that these talks have finally begun. It's going to be a bit problematic moving forward. I could not say it enough that these are preliminary documents, but it's something to work from.
Now, you say they're preliminary, and obviously, you know, Senate President Karen Fann was quoted as saying, you know, there have been a few more drafts since these, but there are some pretty stark differences between what Senate Republicans are considering and what the governor proposed, right?
Yes. Oh, for sure. And I should say that these documents that we've received came from just the Senate. I've seen nothing over in my chamber in the House. But there is, I believe, about a $575 million gap between what the governor wants to spend and what the Senate proposal wants to spend. There's also a pretty significant gap in the savings that Governor Ducey would like to see versus what this plan shows. And that kind of has both Democrats and Republicans in both chambers looking at this plan and going, where on earth did this come from? And so if this were supposed to be the final budget, it would be a non-starter. It's just lacking a lot of the substance that the people who are really important to this process wanted to see.
Well, you mentioned that there hasn't really been a ton of movement in the House. Have members of the House commented about what they're seeing from the Senate?
Well, you know, before we got these documents, they were mostly commenting on what they hadn't seen, that being not much of anything. But, I mean, they're saying exactly what I've kind of tried to sum up, and that this is a non-starter. These documents also came with a tax conformity plan, a Senate alternative tax conformity plan. But what's interesting about that plan in these documents is that neither of the point people for the legislature said that they could sign on to it. Senator J.D. Mesnard, not a fan. Representative Ben Toma said he knows for a fact that it would not have the support in the House simply because he's not going to vote for it. It's just not where they thought those negotiations were going to be at this point. And so I think a lot of people are just disappointed with what they're looking at.
So if this proposal from the Senate or these documents, what's in these documents, is a non-starter, where are we then? I mean, are we still sort of at square one?
Well, you know, I think we're in a little bit better shape than square one, because at least it's a starting point, and at least people are acknowledging that it is preliminary, including leadership. They know that this isn't going to be the final item, but it does show you know, kind of what we've been talking about a lot this session. There's just a lot of chaos over there and some uncertainty. It does seem odd that these details were put into a document at all. If they are so preliminary, then why was the budget drawn out in that way? So there's a long way to go, but what I'm hearing is that tax conformity remains the main sticking point. Once they can figure that out, that kind of puts everyone on common ground. We have a better idea of the kind of revenues we're playing around with. And if you believe what Representative TJ Shope says, that means that we can get out a few days after that part of the issue is solved.
It's interesting that he would say that, because as we talked about, some of the differences between what the governor proposed in January and what we saw in those preliminary Senate documents was a pretty big difference, especially in terms of things like kids care, funding for universities, things like that. I mean, is there a sense that those things can be ironed out once tax conformity gets dealt with?
He seems to think so. And I think it goes back to having a better understanding of the kind of revenues that we'd be dealing with, what kind of debts can be paid down, what kind of wiggle room is there. And I also just kind of get the sense that that would put everyone a little bit at ease, because that's been this huge thing hanging over the legislature and the governor's head of, like, this contentious point that no one could quite agree on. So I think once that's sorted, it'll kind of put things back into a little bit of the usual order. But those things that you mentioned are very significant sticking points for both parties, and they're going to have to find some way to figure that out.
Now, one other wrinkle in the budget process we should talk about, which is Senator Paul Boyer, a Phoenix Republican, who has said he will not vote for the budget unless a bill that he's sponsoring dealing with expanding when certain crime victims can report those crimes, dealing with the statute of limitations, actually gets a vote.
So, and that's going to be really interesting. That bill was given like a quasi-hearing over in the House. Representative Cobb allowed discussion on it, but not a vote. And that discussion just kind of went downhill really fast. We saw an extremely rare kind of scenario where we had Senator Andy Farnsworth, who was not a sponsor on the bill, nor was he a member of the committee he was testifying at, specifically come to this discussion to testify against this bill, against his colleague's bill. And this kind of triggered this bizarre back and forth in testimony between him and Senator Boyer. So, I mean, I think that kind of tells you where that issue is going to go. He has to convince some very important people to kind of get on board with this idea while, you know, leadership over there has, you know, a host of Democrats that they could try to turn instead. So I'm not sure how that particular part of this is going to end, but it is quite a wrinkle in the process.
All right. That is Katie Campbell with the Arizona Capital Times. Katie, as always, thank you.
Thank you.